Good morning to you. It is good to have each and every one of you here as we start off this month of August. And that I thought about that this past week as it turned to August 1st, and I thought, man, it doesn't seem like it should be about March, not August. This year has gone by so fast. And this is a great way to start off this first day of the week. And we're thankful for your presence here. And we do have many visitors. And we are thankful to have you here. We invite you back each and every opportunity that you have to be with us. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have to be gathered here with us. The idea behind this morning's lesson, if you would like to turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, if you would like to follow along as we look at the story of Joseph this morning. As we look at the story of Joseph, we're going to look at Joseph and the angle of him giving it all that he could. He gave it all he's got all throughout his life, and we're going to look at different points where he made that attempt and did those things of giving it his all. And it's so easy to give it all you've got and to put in 100% when it's easy, when you're winning, when you're on top, when you know you are conquering what's in front of you. It's easy to give it all you've got because there's not anything to give you despair or heartache or difficulty. Are we going to give all we've got all the time, though? When the difficult times come, when it is a time of storm, whether it is sickness or disease or death, or maybe just adverse situations, loss of a job, a spouse that won't act right, that you see no other options out of, children that don't treat you with respect, parents who will not act like parents. You as a child are having to act like a grown adult. It's tough times to give it all you've got. It's so easy to just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. I'm going to quit. It's not worth it anymore. I'm ready just to throw it all away. How did Joseph go about his life without giving up and continue to, time and time again, give it all he had? I think the first thing that kind of sets the tone for Joseph is this idea that he had that dream in Genesis chapter 37. If you remember in Genesis 37 there, he was the favorite child of his father. And so as he had this idea of being the favorite child because he was the firstborn of the wife that he really wanted, Joseph has this dream come to him, and he has this dream about the sheaves in the field, if you'll remember that. And he also had a dream about the stars and the sun and the moon, and all of these things are bowing down to him. And even his father questions him and says, Joseph, do you think that your mother and I are going to bow down to you? Do you think all this is your brothers that are bowing down to you? You know, his father's even starting to say, Joseph, you're starting to lose it a little bit. Your dream is not what you think it should be. But Joseph knew what God had set forth in that dream for him to be. And though he didn't understand it entirely at the time, he knew that God does not lie, that God gave him this dream for a reason. And I personally cannot interpret dreams. And I've talked about with our young class that we have on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings that I get some wacky dreams sometimes, and how I had this wild dream that I was in the Wild West days and I was running from the Jesse James gang, and we all ran and we fell off this cliff and we just fell, you know, just right on this ledge below the cliff. And here come Jesse James and his gang, and they got to the edge of the cliff and looked over at me, and I pulled up an AR-15. I just mowed down the Jesse James gang. I don't know how in the world that has anything to do with something I'm supposed to interpret out of that. And it might have just very well have been what I had for supper that night. It was a little bit crazy, or it could have had something to do with what I watched on TV before I went to sleep. But we don't have to interpret dreams, as it were, that today. We have the Word of God that has been fully revealed to us, that we have no questions, that we have no doubts to be made to us as to what our dream, what our destiny is set out to be if we are children of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 there, it says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." You see, He has laid out for you this dream, this destination, this place called heaven, which is an inheritance for you. He's given you hope of that place, that you don't have to wonder what is going to lie ahead. This is what lies ahead to those who are called to the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That inheritance never spoils, it never perishes, it never fades away. And although, you know it, life is going to not be fun at times, and whatever it might be that ain't so fun as it were to be, you can know what your dream is. That God has a plan for you. He has a dream for you. And He's told you all about it in that place called heaven. And oh, to be at home with God in heaven. That's what I dream about. That's where I long to go. So when you are like Joseph and you think about giving it your all, you can always remember your dream and always remember that thing which God has promised to you. Those who are saved through the resurrection of His Son who died on that cross. Those who were baptized into the watery grave of baptism, into and cleansed by the blood of Christ. You have a dream. You have a place to go, that place called heaven. God also had this dream for Joseph, and Joseph had that dream, and he kept that dream on the forefront of his mind. And ever so often, God had placed Joseph in difficult places because He had a purpose for Joseph. You remember Joseph is taken by his brothers, and he's going to be killed. And they'd been happy to kill him, but Reuben didn't want to have to tell him all about, you know, what happened to Joseph. And so they said, well, we'll tell him he died, and we'll throw him into this well here. And Reuben had full intention, you know, of coming back. We'll get him out later and we'll just go on about our days here. But, you know, and they would have been happy killing him and leaving him in that pit if it wasn't for how much money they thought they could make off of him. And so they sold him into slavery. And as they sell him into slavery, the slaves take him into Egypt there, and he goes to Egypt, and Joseph gets taken into to the Potiphar's house. And so the master takes him, Joseph, and puts him into the Potiphar's house there in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20. It said, "Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. After Joseph had gone in and Potiphar's wife had tried to, you know, take him in and lie with him, and Joseph ran away, Joseph gets thrown into prison, which is where all the king's prisoners were." Well, this, what difficult type of situation Joseph find himself in. You know, here I am, I'm falsely accused, I'm falsely thrown into prison, and I'm gone here and I'm going to the king's prison. Well, prison in the days of Joseph was not like prison today. When you went to prison in Joseph's time, the only person that could get you out of prison was Pharaoh, was the king. He's the only one that can say, okay, you've done your time, you can get out. It wasn't, you know, none of this, well, we'll do you 5 to 10, you can get out on 2 for good behavior, you can do 1 in parole. And then it's nothing like that. You went to prison. Joseph ends up in the king's prison. And if you think about this, what Joseph told his brothers there at the end of Jacob's life, and after Jacob had died, he tells all his brothers, he says, "As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be alive. Bring it about to this day that many people should be alive. And although, you know, Joseph had these difficult things happen to him, he was thrown into prison. It was a perfect time for Joseph to be in the prison, wasn't it? Who was also in the prison at the same time as Joseph? Well, the cupbearer and the baker were there, weren't they? Do you remember the story about the cupbearer and the baker? Well, the cupbearer was the man who takes care of the king, drinks the drink, makes sure the king doesn't die. Well, evidently something happened, and the cupbearer that got thrown into prison that was here with Joseph, you know, he has this dream, and Joseph tells him, "Said, well, you're gonna get to go back to your place in life. You're going to get to go back where you were. Just remember me when you go back to the king." Well, something happened with the old cupbearer that replaced the original cupbearer. And the original cupbearer, just as Joseph had interpreted his dream for him, goes back to the king. He goes back to the king, and there he was. And he remembers Joseph. The day came when the king said, "You know what, I've got this weird dream with these seven skinny cows and these seven fat cows and these seven skinny cows eating these seven fat cows. I don't understand what all this is." The cupbearer remembers Joseph to pull him out. See, it was God's time, God's purpose for Joseph to be in prison at that exact moment when the cupbearer was there. It wasn't coincidence. It was God's plan. And so although you might think, how can all of these things, these events that are transcribing over the course of my life, all of these things happening, these people that I'm meeting, these people that are mistreating me, these times that I'm enduring, how can all of this work out? How can all of this come together? Everything that transcribed in Joseph's life to end up in prison to meet one man. A cupbearer. Crazy. All of that comes together really just to kind of meet one guy. And you might think, what in the world does this have to do with anything in my life? All of these things, all of this turmoil, all of this chaos, all of this unwinding. How could this have anything to do with God? Sure, Matt, we know the story of Joseph. We see the end of Joseph's story. But right now, you're in the middle of your story. And while Joseph was in the middle of his story, in the middle of that prison, in the middle of that dungeon, talking to some cupbearer, how did he know that that was going to be how he would rise up? How did he know that that was going to be how he led the entire family of Joseph and the entire nation of Egypt through a famine? What's going on in your life? And Romans chapter 8, verse 28, one of the most promising passages in all of the Bible. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Joseph was lucky enough to make it to the end of his life and get to see all of the things that happened. All the things that happened to him, he got to see the good that came from it. It's so unfortunate that so many times we might live our lives and we die before we see the good that came from it. We get to see the change in people that we really wanted to see all of our lives, and we die before that happens. Does that mean that God's purpose was not for you, was not fulfilled? No. Just means you weren't fortunate enough to see it. And so although you might feel despair and you might feel heartache and you might feel left out, not be discouraged, because all of the things that have happened in your life are going to work out to the good for the glory of God. And we have to understand that putting God's glory in the things that God wants and God needs above ours. And that's the thing Joseph was able to do so successfully, was subdue his wants and his desires and put, hey, whatever I need to do, really that submissive attitude of whatever I need to do for you, Lord, I'm willing to do. And one of those things that Joseph was so willing to do was get to work. He got after it. He was willing to do things. In Potiphar's house, Joseph served him. In the prison, while he was there in the prison, he was put in charge over all the other prisoners. Because Joseph was one who is willing to get to work. As you see in the last part of that verse there on the board, whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Are you willing to serve? Are you really willing to serve the body of Christ the way that God has laid out for you to serve the body of Christ? Do you serve, or do you look for excuses to serve or not to serve or to not do something? Do you try to blame everybody else for the things that you haven't done knowing that you needed to do? Do you make excuses for certain things like, well, I wish we did more stuff like so-and-so down the road here. This church over here, I wish we did more stuff like them. And if maybe you were more involved with what goes on with this body of Christ, you would realize how much stuff actually goes on. How many ways there are for you to contribute, to put part in, to serve others. But you're too busy looking at what everybody else is doing, looking at stuff that needs to be done and no one's doing it, wondering why nobody's doing it, and everybody else is wondering the same thing. Somebody just needs to take action and just get to work. Joseph could have very easily just said, you know, I'm going to go through my life here. All I have to do is just not make Potiphar mad, and I'll get to live out my life here, and I won't have too much turmoil. Joseph got after it. Well, here I am in this prison cell. I'm just going to just live out my life here looking at these walls. Joseph got after it. Joseph got to work. Joseph was ready to serve, ready to help other people. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And when Joseph was serving, read with me here what is in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 40. Joseph came into them, talking about coming back into prison, in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. And so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Did Joseph had to have an excuse to look sad today? Joseph had an excuse to look sad. He was in prison, wasn't he? Hadn't done anything wrong all of his life but do what he was supposed to do. And what happened to him? He got thrown into prison. That's a reason enough for anybody to look sad. But Joseph chose not to be Eeyore pity party. And he sought out to get to work and serve others. It's not... Well, how do you say this? It's really hard to feel sorry for yourself when you're busy working. It's really hard for you to think about how poor, poor, pitiful me is when you're busy helping others. And there have been so many people that I've encountered in my life and so many people here who are so busy that I think, well, they have all the excuse in the world to not do what they're doing. They have all the excuse in the world to not be at church, but yet they're here time and time again. Yet they're always serving. They're always helping others. They're writing cards. They're calling people on the phone. They're doing stuff for folks. And I think, well, if anybody ought to just relax, it should be them. But I think part of it is you don't think about your situation when you're busy serving others. Let me give you this scenario. When we would be at football practice, and this is the, you know, if y'all haven't noticed, this football season kicking off right now in August. And you'd be there at practice. And you might start at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you might leave 2 o'clock in the afternoon before school got started. And then when school got started, you'd be there from 3:06. You'd be there till 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night. Wore out, slap tired. Game, Friday night. You'd be running up and down the field. Playing basketball, running up and down the court, nonstop. Whole game. You know when you got tired? when the whistle blew. When the whistle blew and you got to and you took a break, you realized, I'm about wore out. But while the game was going on, while all the emotions were stirring, while you were busy working, while you were busy doing something for somebody else, you were busy doing your job, so the man on the other side of the line was doing his job, you didn't think about how tired you were. Because you knew as soon as you started thinking about how tired you were, that moment of weakness was going to subdue you in and you were going to get trucked. You knew that however tired you were, that guy on the other side of the line was just as tired because he had been out there just as long. And you wouldn't dare about to make another part of weakness. Whenever you're here and you're serving that body of Christ, you don't have time to think about how pitiful I am because you think about how much there's left for you to do. And you don't take breaks. You just constantly keep on keeping on because that keeps your mind off of the tempter. Because that keeps you defending him off, keeping him away because you're really putting off that Eeyore spirit animal saying, I don't need you. Saying, I need to take a break. Joseph got to work. That was part of how Joseph was able to keep on giving it all he had. It's because he was busy. He was busy doing the work that God had out for him. Working hard to serve others is one of your most powerful weapons against despair and self-pity. I put this in here about don't wait to get invited. I think so many people, they want to help, but they feel like, you know, if they needed my help, they'd ask for it. And while that might be true in some circumstances, it's by far not true in all. If you want to go visit somebody, don't wait on them to invite you over to their house to visit them. Just go. If you want to go see somebody in the hospital, just go. If you want to call somebody, just call them. What do you want them to call you and say, hey, I'd like for you to call me sometime, and then hang up, wait on you to call you back? Just do something. You see that somebody's struggling with something, help them out. You know that there's work to be done, assist. Ask, what can I do? I probably helped more. I'd have been a better help if I would have just stayed out of the way more in Vacation Bible School. There was a lot to be done. We could have just helped. Doesn't matter if you were invited to the thing or not. Hey, we're going to meet over here at 9 o'clock. Don't have to send out personalized invitations to everyone. If you want to help, you know they're going to meet at 9 o'clock. Show up at 9 o'clock. If you know this group of folks over here, they're going to go visiting over there at the nursing home, show up when they're going to show up. It's not hard. They'd love to have you. Think about Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly with love. While you're free to do what you want to do, you're too busy serving yourself instead of serving others. You're getting your mind off of what your dream really is. And that's why it's so easy to not give it your all, is because you're worried about giving it all to yourself. And you think about that song that we sing, None of Self in All of Thee. That's what it's about. Being a Christian is putting aside self. Saying all of you, Lord, is all I want. I want us to remember that God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph always. The Lord was with him in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. Everything that he did prospered. In verse 21, the Lord was with him. In verse 23, because the Lord was with Joseph, as we looked at earlier, gave him success in whatever he did. In prison, in Potiphar's house, in Pharaoh's house, everything that Joseph did prospered because God was with Joseph and God is with you too. I know that God is with me. Jesus gave His disciples these words before He ascended into heaven. As surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hebrews chapter 13, in the second half of verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? God has always been with us. He will never leave us. He'll never betray us. But what does leave is us. What does move is us. I want you to think about Peter when he was walking on that water. And he called out and said, Christ, if it's you, let me come to you. Peter knew that if that was Jesus, he knew he was going to be safe, didn't he? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he said, you know, ain't nothing that's going to happen to me when Jesus is here with me. And so Peter starts walking out onto the water at Jesus' command. He says, come. Come on. Let's go. And so Peter gets out of that boat, and what happens? Well, at first what happens is Peter starts to walk, doesn't he? Peter has success in defying the odds of gravity. Defying the laws of nature which were set forth in Genesis 1. Peter defies those because of the miracle that Jesus performs, because Peter knows that Jesus is with him. And so as Peter starts to take a step out onto the water to get closer to Jesus, what does Peter do? Peter looks around. Peter looks at the waves. Peter looks at the waves that are blowing at the wind. He looks at his feet and where they are on the water. And for that split second, he forgets that God is with him. He forgets that Christ is with him. And he begins to sink. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me. You know that God is with you. But just like Peter, so many times we look all around us at everything that is falling apart and we forget that God's with us. Even though Jesus was in his face, Peter forgot. And even though you've known it all of your life, that Jesus is with you, that God is going to be with you always. He's not going to defy me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. Surely He's with us always to the very end of the age. And we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even Peter got weak in the knees when he looked around. We can't look around. We've got to always keep on the forefront of our minds that God is with me. God's always with me. Joseph didn't try to handle his suffering alone. He turned to God. He stayed the course to the very end because he knew God was with him. In his father's house, in the pit, in slavery, in Potiphar's house, in prison, in the highest appointment of the land, all the way from the lowest low to the highest high, God was with Joseph. Joseph gave it his all because God was with him and God was on his side. Guess what? God is on your side too. In your pains and in your pleasures, in your lowest low and your highest high, God is there. And He's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave your side. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's always with you. Always. No matter your situation that you're going through, He's with you. Joseph gave 100%, 100% of the time, because he knew that God was with him. That's why he was able to give it his all. You're able to give it your all because you know that he gave it all for you. He didn't hold back. He didn't hold back in the garden. He didn't hold back in front of Pilate. He didn't hold back on the walk up to Golgotha's hill. He didn't hold back at the first nail or the second or the third. He went all the way to the end for you. He didn't hold anything back. The devil is giving his all for you too. He's not holding up. He's not letting back. He's going to keep throwing you trials. He's going to keep throwing you storms. He's going to keep throwing you despair, heartache, anything he's got. He's going to put it all in for you. So as you get ready to go to school, as you get ready to go back to work, know that Satan himself is giving it his all. And so the question you have to answer is, are you going to give your all to him, Satan? Or are you going to give your all to God? That's the decision you have to make. If you're not giving it, if you're not giving your all to God, then you're giving it all to Satan. Are you like Joseph in giving it your all this morning? If you're not, you have an opportunity to do that. To turn your life around and give it all to God. And you can do that as we stand and as we sing.